Okay, so yeah, we're on Ruth chapter 4. Boaz marries Ruth. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling a piece of land that belonged to our relative, Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you will also acquire Ruth as the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with this property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and the transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was a method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion and Mahon, and I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Mahon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are my witnesses." Then the elders of all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrah and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore into Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Solomon. Solomon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kate. Thank you for how she's poured herself out into this sermon series on this great book. We pray for your extra anointing on her tonight as she comes into land with this series. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Alex, you definitely should have checked that family tree and said no. I always think you should say no when you've got to read some difficult names out. Thanks so much for reading. So, Ruth chapter 4. Here we are, the end of this glorious book. And I hope that by the end of this evening, you will love this book even more. Ruth, this is a story of redemption. this is a story of transformation. And as we come into land tonight and end our sermon series looking at Ruth, we will find the perfect ending. And it might not be as you imagine. I wonder what your perfect ending for a film is. Personally, I'm not the biggest fan of a they lived happily ever after ending, walking off into the sunshine, because it doesn't seem realistic or true to life. One of my favorite films is The Sting, a classic film, which I'm sure you've all seen, but if you haven't, I'm about to spoil it, and Will said that that was okay, so close your ears for a couple of seconds. It features my favorite duo, Robert Redford and Paul Newman. And just when you think everything has been lost, and one of the main characters has been shot, everything changes in the blink of an eye. They've been running a sting operation against a gangster by running an illegal horse betting shop. It's set in the 1920s. Because this gangster had stolen lots of money from one of them. He places this enormous bet. And then the police come rushing in. They take him and they shoot Robert Redford. He falls to the floor and you think it's over. They've lost. What a terrible ending to what has been a brilliant film. But then he stands up. He takes off his police vest. And it was all set up already. It's just you didn't know. Every time I watch the film, I almost forget that the ending is going to be okay and that things will work out better. Well, tonight, this book is going to end even better than we might imagine. And tonight in our passage, we met three redeemers. We have three different people who appear and act as redeemers. The first one of these is Boaz. He is the legal redeemer. In the passage from last week, Ruth approaches Boaz and asks him both to marry her, but also to act as her guardian redeemer. This means he's asking her, as who she thinks is the person closest to her family, to buy back the land that Naomi has sold, and to kind of bring their family back from the dead. He's promised to do so, but there's another person who might wish to act in this way, who has to be approached first. Boaz is an honorable man. He says he'll go and meet this man and ask him. So he goes to the place of doing business, the city gate. It's not just a literal gate that you walk through, but we should imagine it as a gate that people would sit around during the day to discuss things and make business decisions. He approaches this other kinsman and asks and offers him the chance to buy back the land. Ooh, yes, please. The redeemer is interested. The famine has just left. It's a time of plenty. Maybe he's thinking of all the money he can make. And then Boaz says, well, once you have taken this land, you must become the husband of Ruth the Moabite. Remember, Israelites were banned from marrying Moabite women. The man backs out. No, that is too much. Because if this marriage ended in a child, it would endanger his estate. All of the estate that he already owns would be given to this child that he would have with Ruth. And any other children would receive nothing. Now, I think there's a way in which this man, who's never given a name, is a little bit like Orpah, who we met in chapter 1. When Naomi offered Orpah the chance to go back to Moab, she said yes. And we shouldn't see this kinsman's decision to say no as selfish, Because actually, this is the responsible, sensible decision. He's caring for his family. They've just been through a massive time of famine. And recognizing how sensible it is that he says no highlights to us what a sacrificial decision Boaz has made. He's willing to risk this. He's willing to make what to these men sitting around the gate would have been a crazy financial investment. And why does he do it? In order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the records. Boaz is doing this for Elimelech. He's buying back the land. And in order for him to do this, he's willing to marry a Moabite, even though that was forbidden. And he's making a commitment that he wants them to have a child, knowing that she was married for 10 years and was unable to have a child with her other husband. And if this child is born, they will inherit everything from him. What an enormous sacrifice. Boaz will take Ruth and Naomi's lives out of bitterness and into sweetness, out of the shadow of death and into the dawn of new life. They were outsiders, but Boaz didn't believe that Ruth's family weren't worth saving. He didn't believe that they were so far away from God that they didn't need to be brought back. And I wonder if that should make us think about how we consider sharing our faith. Have we ever thought that there was someone who was too far gone, whose life had journeyed so far away from God that there was no way for them to know him? That there might ever be someone who was beyond redemption? Because Boaz didn't, and God doesn't. He's the God of lost causes. How many of us can say that before we came to faith, we viewed ourselves as a complete lost cause? How many of us have thought that we were undeserving of love, that we were not someone who merited redemption? Well, this passage challenges us to think that that is not true. And if you know someone who you think that God could change their life forever, then why not tell them a little something about the book of Ruth? And Boaz makes the declaration that he is ready to make this sacrifice. He's ready to redeem the woman who was an outsider, and he seals the deal with a sandal. So we've had Boaz, the legal redeemer. And now we have our second redeemer, the friendship redeemer. Because Boaz isn't going to be able to bring this family back to life, to bring Naomi's husband back into the family of God and not be forgotten without Ruth. The technical law would have meant that Boaz would have married Naomi. But Naomi is beyond childbearing years. And that's when Ruth steps in and she offers herself instead. She offers herself to have a child with Boaz because she wants to bring life back to Naomi. And together, these two image bearers, Ruth and Boaz, join God in saving the life of Elimelech and transforming the future of Naomi. And I think that Ruth Well, I know that Ruth is motivated to do this by her faith. We see that she has become a convert to God in the first chapter. She uses a word which I noticed we sang in our first song. She calls upon Yahweh. And the fact that she does that shows that she has been converted. This isn't just, oh, I'm trying to be nice to you, so I'll call upon God and say that I'm going to do this. She's a believer. And she's left Moab and everything that she knew because she knew that her future belonged with the people of God. So she's motivated to be this amazing friend for Naomi by her faith, but also by her love for Naomi. She has been a constant by Naomi's side throughout the book, and we've seen all the different ways in which she's cared for her. In the second chapter, when she went off to get them food, and she was working day through the night with very few breaks. And then in the third chapter, last week, when she's ready and willing to take the instruction from Naomi to approach Boaz and seek him as their redeemer. I wonder, do you have a friend who loves you like Ruth loved Naomi? Do you have a friend who's walked with you and journeyed with you and made sacrifices for you, even through the difficult times? We probably, if we're lucky, might have one or two people who have acted like that for us. I can think of a couple of friends. I have a wonderful Texan friend called Nancy Page, who sent me the most amazing sort of little story this week when I was struggling with something, saying, I want to take this away from you, but all I can do now is be on my knees praying to God for you. And now I have the chance to offer that back to her because she's just discovered that both of her parents have got COVID. And I think this is an amazing reminder to us about our friendship. Are we willing to be these kinds of friends to the people around us? Ruth is so beautifully motivated by her love for Naomi. She knows that if they go back to Bethlehem, there's a chance that Naomi won't die. And she knows that if Naomi is going to have a future, if she's going to have a land, if she's going to have another child, if she's going to have a name, then Ruth is going to have to walk alongside her and make these amazing sacrifices for her. Could you be that kind of friend to someone? Because what's so amazing about this passage is that towards the end, when the people are rejoicing with Naomi, they refer to Ruth as being better than seven sons. Now, we're in the patriarchal society where really all couples wanted was a son to carry on their family name. And Ruth has been so amazing to Naomi that she's being sung as being better than seven sons. And if we look and think about all of what's happened in this passage, we see the way that the legal redemption offered by Boaz and the sacrificial friendship offered by Ruth transform Naomi's life. Naomi, at the beginning of chapter 1, is bitter. Call me Mara, she says. At the end of chapter 4, people are praising God for what he's done for her. She says that she has come back to Bethlehem empty, but now her heart is full as she bounces this baby on her knee. She said that she was alone, but now she's being praised for having the most wonderful, daughter-in-law. Her life has been transformed by the sacrifices of these people. And we see in Naomi almost what we may sometimes see in someone that we know. Someone who thinks they need to go somewhere else to find the good life. They need to go off and sort things out for themselves. But actually, when they come back to faith, they realize that in their faith, everything that they needed was there all along. I remember in the first chapter, we talked about how God was with her all along. And it's wonderful in this chapter at the end to see that Naomi's life has been transformed and that God had never left her side. So far, this chapter has made us think about praying for and sharing faith with the outsiders in our lives. I hope it's helped to see that there is no one who is beyond God's love. We've considered the kind of friend that Ruth was, the sacrificial love that she was willing to give to Naomi. But then we come to that question that I've asked every week that we've looked at Ruth. Why is Ruth chapter 4 in the Bible? Why is it in this scripture that has been given to us by God? And I think it's because of the third Redeemer, who we find in verse 14 to 15. Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. You see, when we read that, we might think we're talking about Boaz. But then we read, he will renew you and sustain you in your old age. Who is this third Redeemer? It could be Obed, but I think that verse is pointing forward and talking about Jesus, because throughout all of the book, we've seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus in their actions, the actions of Ruth and Boaz. But this book hasn't ended with marriage and a baby, like the boring romantic comedies, because there's a twist in the tale. Do you notice who is holding the baby at the end of chapter 4? It's not Ruth, who we last saw in chapter 3, and it's not Boaz, who, having been the legal redeemer, has disappeared from sight. The focus of this book isn't a single widow meeting her perfect man. It's not about a hunky man acting as a redeemer for some struggling women. Who is this redeemer that we found in verses 14 to 15? Well, it's much better, because this verse points forward to another baby who will be born in Bethlehem. He'll be a kinsman of Boaz. He'll have left his home in heaven. He'll have left his status sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he will become a foreigner, a nobody, like Ruth, and then give his life to redeem the life of others. By offering himself in this way, he will renew all of us and sustain all of us in new age. Can you see it? Can you accept it? Because at the end of this book, only an old woman is left holding the child who is her future and the future of her people. The birth of Obed is a picture of the gospel, of suffering and sacrifice, and the hope for a future of us all mingled together. And at the end, we have this promise of a Savior, born in Bethlehem, who will renew us all and offers us all eternal life. Because the journey that Naomi has been on, going to Moab, losing her family, making the decision to come back, being penniless and poor, and sending Ruth off into the field, and then Ruth going to Boaz and seeking him as a redeemer. And those two coming together and having this baby Obed. God's salvation plan was at work. God was at work through all of those moments. This is the gospel of Ruth. And if you remember, I said that in the last book, the book of Judges, it ends with the idea that the people are doing what they want because they don't have a king. And then this last word in the book of Ruth, David, the king that they needed to draw them back to God, who brought us the king that we need so that we can know God as our heavenly Father. I hope that you can see why we have the book of Ruth. I'll pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the book of Ruth. Thank you for these characters that we've journeyed on. Thank you that we've seen the way that Naomi's life has been transformed by the sacrifice of others, and that brought Obed, who then brings us Jesus. Amen.